what was the first Christian? Who was the first person to put their trust in Jesus of Nazareth as their Lord and Saviour? Well, our minds might flick through the list of disciples. Philip was certainly an early one. Andrew, Matthew, James, John. Surely St. Peter. Peter's moment of confession recorded clearly in the Gospels. Jesus says to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Well, on this rock I will build my church." So here we are today, the church in Bolney, Advent 2025, built on the great apostle, St. Peter. No, I don't think that's quite right. Who was the first Christian? I believe the answer is a teenage girl. Mary was the first Christian. And Mary teaches all of us what it actually means to be a Christian. Lots of people through the Old Testament were trusting in God's deliverance, but they didn't know how exactly God's rescuing king would come. Mary is the first person God chose to reveal the full nature of his salvation plan. God is becoming human. God is entering the world as a baby. He will be called Jesus. And Mary trusts it will be true. That makes her, in my opinion, the very first Christian. God chose an unmarried teenager to be the first disciple, the first human being to put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Tonight, as a new chapter opens for this benefice, we learn from Mary essentials for our discipleship as we journey through Advent, reflecting on how we can be made new by the coming of Jesus in our lives. The angel's visit comes without warning. Mary's not in the temple. She's not in the courts of the king. She's living her ordinary life in the backwater of rural Nazareth, the forgotten very edge of the enormous Roman Empire. Total obscurity, a town barely worth a mention. And there, heaven bends to touch earth. God chooses to plant the seed of salvation, the Word become flesh. Three elements of Mary's story that must be our story too. First is the call of grace. God calls us by grace. God's first words to Mary are not a command or instructions. They are a gift and a blessing. Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you. Before Mary is asked to do anything, she's reminded of who she is in God's eyes. It all begins with grace, not a task to do. Mary hasn't said anything. She hasn't done anything. This is vital for all Christians and all ministry. A priest's identity does not begin with what they can accomplish. Peter had to write a long CV as he applied for this job. And his achievements and his track record are wonderful. But as a Christian, he starts where we all do, having done nothing to impress God, but just open-handedly receive grace. It's not about how eloquently he preaches, how wisely he shepherds you, how efficiently he organizes his inbox or diary. It begins with this: the Lord is with you. Every act of ministry flows out of God's gracious presence. And that's not just for the priests, but the whole congregation. This new season, remembering together that God is already here, already at work. His love has already settled on this benefice before any of us lift a finger in his service. And Advent reminds us of his grace. Before we prepare the way of the Lord is already approaching. Before John the Baptist preaches repentance, God has already set in motion the rescue plan. Before the world even knows its need, Jesus is on his way. We've done nothing, nothing worthy of him. We haven't earned his love or won his attention. The foundation that we stand on is grace. So first grace, then wrestling. Every Christian is called to wrestle with truth. The text that we've just had read says Mary is much perplexed by Gabriel's words, and it's a bad translation. The Greek word is taken from the world of accountancy. Any accountants? Chartered accountants? Finance directors? Oh, of course, yes. Very good. The word Mary perplexed, it means forensically thinking everything through with a fine-tooth comb, like accountants do, poring over the Excel spreadsheet, meticulously taking stock, appraising, thinking very deeply and rigorously and logically. That's the word. That's how Mary is thinking. She seriously, as a 15-year-old girl, she's in this posture of really thinking this through, open-minded doubting, asking her questions. And we, like her, are called, invited to be learners, to be thinkers, to be apprentices, accountants in the kingdom of God. And to do this in community, Mary rushes off to Elizabeth because she has to figure this out in dialogue. She has to do theology in community as iron sharpens iron. Christianity is a faith for people who are willing to really think, who really doubt, who really wrestle with truth and revelation. In the modern world, the thing in this passage that we would have most trouble experiencing is all the miraculous supernatural stuff, isn't it? The angels and the virgin conception. And our modern minds are trained, our culture trains us against believing that that's real or rational. Mary's mind is different. She is culturally much more open to thinking thoughts about angels and miracles, but her mind is utterly trained to know for sure that God cannot become a human being. There would never be such a thing. A God who becomes vulnerable, it's impossible. The infinite becoming finite. The Almighty becoming weak, God, a baby, a person who could get hurt, who could get tortured, who could get killed. That is impossible. But Mary is courageous enough to wrestle with her doubts and questions, to open her mind to unthinkable possibilities. So first grace, and then thinking, wrestling, and then to surrender. This is the faith journey we are all called to, not just to do it once, but really to do it daily. Let it be to me according to your word. Her life is about to be turned upside down. Her calling brings great disruption, holy disruption, completely reshapes and reorients her whole life. And Mary is willing to take her hands off her own life and give it all to God. She knows that saying yes to this means that for the rest of my life, I will live in shame. Everyone who knows me will think I either slept with Joseph before I married him, or I was unfaithful to Joseph before I married him. So either way, there is no hiding this. It will look to everyone like a very public sin. I will be totally shamed and in danger. I will always be the one that had an illegitimate child. And Mary gives her whole self, her whole body, her future, her reputation, her dreams, steps into the unknown, trusting that God will meet her there. A priest's ministry is shaped by the same posture. The vows taken, the promises made, the call responded to, the responsibilities accepted. All of it comes down to this: let it be to me according to your word. And this is not just the priest's response. The people of God respond to share the ministry, to share with deacons and priests and bishops, a whole congregation surrendered to the will of God. Mary carries Christ within her. She's supported by Elizabeth, strengthened by Joseph, surrounded ultimately by a community of disciples. So may this be a season, I pray, where your minds will be open, your hearts open, your hands willing, your faith radically alive to the possibilities of God's future for your community. Advent teaches us to live this way, to watch for God's coming, saying yes to the new things he's doing even before we really know what it's going to look like. Our yes to God will always mean battle as well as blessing. It's a blessing to live in the stream of God's purpose for our lives. There is nothing better. But battle, hardship, struggle, it's always what we enter, like Mary. The more we enter the purposes of God, the more we will be engaged in contest and controversy, because building his kingdom is not a neutral act. It will always be contested. There is a front line. Mary says, yes, I will put my life on that line. A sword will pierce your own heart, says Simeon to her. Today a new season begins. And the heart of it is there in Nazareth. God is coming close. He is speaking, inviting us to join his redeeming work. Our foundation is grace, our journey to wrestle with truth, our call to surrender in trust. Amen.